BotCon 2011 figure set first reveal, Dark of the Moon Shockwave, Generations Warpath photo. This is Geek Existence Transformers.
Now, all we need is a little Energon and a lot of luck.
So welcome to Geek Existence Transformers.
I be your host, Peg Fearful, and with me be...
Spooky Grab at Calvatron. I'm gonna say I remember when I first got into collecting.
Predacons, terrorize!
Hello and welcome to Geek Existence Transformers, the podcast formerly known as Geek Existence Toys. I am Weirdwolf 1975 and with me is...
Insane Galvatron.
Yay, another snowy week. But I don't care. I'm on vacation now for a week and a half.
Yes, must be nice to be off for that long. I was a few weeks back, actually at the end of December. I had a nice week. I had I think it was 11 days total I had off. Pretty nice.
Yeah, well, this one here, I mean, I'm normally off on Thursdays, but I took a personal day for Friday, and then I'm off on vacation all the next week, so I'm virtually getting a week and a half off, so I can't complain.
No matter,
and I spent today just out goofing off with another friend of mine, and we're kind of recording late because of that, but I'm kind of glad we went, or else I wouldn't have had anything for Ouch My Wallet tonight.
Yeah, that's, and one of us has to work tomorrow, and you kept him up late. But
I'm sorry. Wah, wah, wah.
Yes.
Well, anything else happen interesting to you this week, Galvatron?
Pretty much it's just been me. Just when I'm not at work, I've been coming home, just kind of taking care of a little bit of housework there was to do. You know, like keeping the dishes clean and stuff. But then I've been just watching a lot of Stargate SG-1. Those of you who've been listening to the podcast for a while remember that I got that as a Christmas present from Weird Wolf here. And have fallen in love with this show. I had never really seen it. I'd only seen the movie. And as I've been watching it, it really is a good show. And it's really sucked me in so much that I actually want a Serpent Guard costume. I'm going to figure out how to make one of those. But I've just been engrossed in it. I've already watched... Pretty much any time I'm home, I watch 3 or 4 episodes a day at least, and I've already quickly gone through 4 seasons, and I'm partway through season 5 now.
Wow, you're really burning through it. It took me about 3 months to go through the. Well, then again, I went through all 10 seasons of SG-1, then 5 seasons of Atlantis, and then a season of Universe, and I'm actually starting on Stargate Infinity, the animated series. Right now, so, but it's nowhere near as interesting as the actual show, but it's still pretty cool.
Yeah, like I said, I'm digging it. It's awesome. I gotta say, this is one of the best Christmas presents I've received in quite a few years. I'm really enjoying the show. The only thing is, I know that Stargate Atlantis runs parallel with Stargate SG-1 for like the last 3 seasons, through 3 seasons of SG-1, first 3 seasons of Atlantis, and I'm quickly getting there. At this rate, I'll probably be there in another 2 weeks, so I've got to...
Well, by that time, maybe you'll have your income tax return back, and pick it up. You can get it pretty cheap, actually.
So. Yeah, I think I was looking. I can get the entire series for like $80 and with the individual sets. At least that's what they were at Walmart the other day. Yeah, I just got to get my income tax refund so that I can afford it. Should have it around the middle of February, so I may have
to just slow down.
When I get to the end of Season 7, I may have to just pause and wait.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know how a couple weeks ago we were talking about He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, and I actually was able to find, last week, I was perusing Amazon, and I found the entire series of the 2002 Masters of the Universe on there, and it was a whopping $7 and, I think, 85 cents for the complete series. It's like 40 episodes, 39 episodes. It's got bonus features and commentaries, and the 40th episode that actually never aired, they have a PDF format comic book of it that you can put in your computer and read. So that's pretty cool. I've been watching that and really getting into it. I forgot how good a show it was.
Yeah, the original series, when it was, you know, I loved it as a kid. You bought the DVDs as an adult, you know, put in the first episode and watched it, and it came across as really cheesy. But I don't have cable. I just have antennas, and one of the channels I can pick up is called Kubo. And late at night, they will play the original He-Man series. And just, you know, it's been a couple times I've just been up flipping through the, like, 10 channels I can pick up, and nothing else was on, and I flipped through, and I'm like, well, there's He-Man. Let's give it a shot. And apparently the show got a little better after that first episode, because it's actually tolerable. I don't mind it. I mean, it's still a little cheesy, but it's like, you know, 80s cartoon cheesy. It's still entertaining to watch, and I'm glad to hear what you say about the newer series that came out about 10 years ago is even better still. I mean,
well, yeah, it's much better. I mean, not all the episodes, but there's a few episodes that was written by Larry DiTilio. If you're a Transformers fan from the 80s, you may recognize that name. He wrote a lot of the G1 episodes. And he actually wrote a few of the original series episodes, and he's also wrote some of the new He-Man series episodes, and I really like that fact. Plus, the new MOTU cartoon, it also has other Transformer ties.
Oh yes, what was his name? Guy played Optimus Primal.
Gary Chalk.
It's Gary Chalk. I heard he's in it.
Yeah, Gary Chalk. He voices Man-at-Arms and Whiplash in it. And our old friend, Scott McNeil, he does, yet again, many more voices in this series as well. He does Merman. His Merman sounds a whole lot like Waspinator, only it's a little more aquatic. Imagine G1 Sea Spray and Waspinator kind of mixed up. That's kind of the sound that you get. He also does who else does he do? Clawful and a few other characters. Brian Drummond, you may recognize him from some of the Armada, Energon, and Cybertron cartoon series. He does the voice of a couple characters on there. And speaking of Stargate SG-1, Christopher Judge, who was Teal'c in Stargate, he does the voice of Zodak in the series.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's got a pretty good pedigree. The voice acting, you know, I pretty much knocked it in the episode that we did on He-Man with Geek Existence Toys, but the voice acting in this series is pretty well spot on. I actually had to watch a couple episodes. Oh, Stratos is another Scott McNeil, and his Stratos sounds a lot like what's that actor's name? He played in The Rock and Sean Connery.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got a very Sean Connery tone to his Stratos voice, but it's pretty cool. Series. The animation.
Wait a minute.
Excellent.
I hate to interrupt, but you were trying to remember Sean Connery, and the best example you could throw out was The Rock. I mean, I think he's more famous for being, I don't know, James Bond, as well as The Hunt for Red October. I think those were, like, you know, some of his bigger roles.
I was trying to think of something recent. Okay?
Yeah, it's like the same reason you couldn't remember his name was the reason you couldn't remember the things he was in, huh?
Yeah, he's just not one of my favorite actors. I mean, I don't think he's terrible. I just, you know.
He's got that voice that every woman melts when they hear it.
Yeah. Although he doesn't seem to do much for my wife. She just doesn't care for him too much. But anyway, I'm really enjoying the He-Man series. And tonight, I saw a deal, and I just couldn't pass it up. I was going to mention it in my Ouch My Wallet, but I'll just go ahead and mention it here. I picked up Season 1, Volume 1 of Thundercats at Walmart for a whopping $20.
Wow.
Yeah, everywhere else I see it, it's like $50, $60.
Yeah, that's the reason I've never bought it. It was extremely expensive.
Yeah, $20 at Walmart. I got a copy, and my friend got a copy, so... Huh?
I said Thundercats.
Yes. This box set's got 33 episodes in it, so I'm kind of jazzed. He was there. The whole reason we went in there, we looked for Silverhawks, and he said that he had seen it in there, but they said that they have it only online, so I had to had to come away with Thundercats, but I'm kind of happy. I like Thundercats.
Yes, I'd like to pick that up too. As soon as I have money, I shall buy that.
Yes. Time now for our All right, our eBay item of the week this week is a vintage G1 Sunstreaker mint and sealed box.
Yes, the eBay item number is 300-509-288811. Its location is Japan. Obviously, what do you expect? It's sealed transformer, so the figure itself looks to be mint condition. The box has a little bit of wear, a little bit of shelf wear, but considering it's 26 years old, it looks pretty fantastic.
So it's obviously not a knockoff.
Right. I was going to say there has been a knockoff of this toy in every original looking box, but they usually have pristine looking boxes. And if there is any damage to the box, it's the kind of damage it looks like it was just handled roughly. It doesn't look like, you know, actual shelf wear of, you know, just wear over time as this box appears to be. And it can be yours for the low price of $460 with $26 shipping.
You know, that's not a bad price for that figure, considering the fact that it is the very first Transformer mold that actually became a Transformer from Diaclone.
Yeah, you know, I was about to say
that was actually designed.
I wasn't sure what mint and sealed box G1s are going for nowadays, but I would imagine that would be pretty much on the mark. It may have seemed a little high to me, only because I could never imagine paying that much for one toy, but it is a sealed G1, so it may not be as high as I was thinking.
You know, if I had about $500 laying around, I would definitely buy it on that. A lot of people's like, it's just a sealed G1, but, you know, you and I both can relate. G1 holds a special place in our heart, just like Beast Wars and Energon and what have you may have a special place in other people's hearts, because that's what they grew up with. With us, it's G1, and this right here, especially the character, the toy, and just the historic aspect about it, I think it's worth it.
Yeah, the only thing I could see being better than this would be if you had like an actual red Diaclone Sunstreaker, because that was the first transforming vehicle to robot toy.
Well, they told us at BotCon last year that Sunstreaker was actually the first one ever designed. That actually, the first transforming robot ever designed that ever that eventually became a transformer,
right.
Official transformer. So that's why it has a historic significance and everything. But to me, the only one, and I really love Sunstreaker. He's one of my favorite G1s of all time, and I think. The only reason that, or the only other Transformer that I would absolutely go nuts over if I found one mint in a sealed box would be a Weird Wolf, for obvious reasons. But I don't think those exist anymore. I haven't seen any as hard as I've looked.
Yeah, I think you said for several years you've had an active eBay search where it'll like notify you and something fitting that criteria pops up and you've never been notified.
Yeah.
I've been to quite a few BotCons and official conventions, and I've yet to ever see one. So I'm like you. I don't think it made it. I think they all got opened.
Yeah, I've seen a number that are mint in box, and the closest I came was in OTFCC 04 in Chicago. There was a dealer that had a Weird Wolf that was mint on sealed bubble inside an opened box. That was the closest I'd ever seen, and it did not include the instructions. The instructions and sticker sheet were missing. The box was intact. The box was pretty nice. The bubble was nice, and of course, Weird Wolf was sealed on the bubble. The bubble was slightly yellowed, but it was Weird Wolf sealed, but not the way I wanted it. I want a just like this one, you know, mint and seal box. It's never been opened.
So it still has the instructions. I
really
stickers.
Don't. Yeah, I really don't care that, you know, a lot of people freak out, well, you know, why you want to just keep it sealed and everything? Well, I want to keep it sealed to remember it as it was on the shelf, because I have one that's opened, loose, and complete, that if I want to fiddle with it, you know, I can go pick it up off my shelf and fiddle with it, but I want another one for nostalgia's sake. And I would pay a premium for that if I had the money.
Oh, for me, so. It would be one of three, if not all three, if I were going to have a sealed G1. I would either want an Optimus Prime, which is probably never going to happen because him being the most popular character, his sealed G1 sealed Prime would be worth a fortune. Second would probably be the Power Master Prime, who was probably my favorite toy as a kid. I wouldn't mind getting a hold of one of those sealed. But I think what would really take the cake would be a Grimlock, because he was my second most wanted as a kid. You know, I wanted Prime when I first got into Transformers. I got him for Christmas, and I think it was in Christmas of 84. And then I really, really wanted Grimlock was the next one I wanted the most, and I got him for my birthday in 85. So I'd have to say those two, if I could have those sealed, that would be something I would love to have. I don't see it ever happening, though, because more than likely, just with the cost of those two items, if you ever found them, would be too prohibitive. I just got better things to spend that kind of money on.
Yeah.
I mean, like, for example, a complete like Fort Max. I would much rather spend the money on a complete Fort Max.
That's my thing. The only thing that I would absolutely bend over for, backwards for, is the Mint and Seal Box Weird Wolf.
I'm glad you put the backwards in there, because I got a completely different mental picture when you said just bend over for.
Yeah,
it's like I want that toy so bad that I would.
No, I would not.
That was the mental picture
but,
I got, though.
Yeah. Okay, well, now we know where your mind's at. But I would bend over backwards for a Mint and Seal Box Weird Wolf. You know, I would actually sell stuff I already have just to pick one up. It has that high of a priority for me in my collection. But, you know, this Sunstreaker, I know we've kind of chased a white rabbit here, but this Sunstreaker is pretty nice. Especially in this condition, you know, the CLG1s are getting more and more rare, you know, that's out on the market. I mean, you still find them from time to time, but most of the time they're either AFA graded and retardedly expensive, or, you know, they're a knockoff, trying to be passed off as a vintage G1, and this is actually a nice find here.
I've got a little word of advice for you, though, as far as sealed G1s. They're disappearing because more and more collectors are scooping them up. But I think that there's, you know, the new Michael Bay movies have brought a lot of people into the fandom and has really grown the Transformers fandom. And just like anything else, like I remember at one point, you know, like the late 90s, X-Men, and early 2000s, X-Men was like huge. And it's kind of died down. And I think these things, they got their major blockbuster movies, they get popular. And they're popular for several years, and then it dies down. And I think you're going to see the same thing with Transformers. I mean, it happened with... I used to collect NASCAR diecasts, and they were real big around the time that Dale Earnhardt got killed. But then, you know, because everybody was getting into it, and then, you know, a little time passed, everybody kind of got out of it. So stuff that was really expensive ended up being dirt cheap. So I'd say what's going to happen in a few years, you're going to see these people that bought all these old toys are going to kind of get out of it as the fad passes, and they're going to decide that they need the money more than the stuff, and then you'll start seeing a huge influx of these toys hitting eBay and going back on the market, and just the law of supply and demand, it'll get cheaper.
Yeah, I kind of see that happening too, and that's why I'm not really going after a whole lot of vintage stuff right now. I mean, if I can find it cheap and at an affordable price that I find acceptable, I'll go ahead and buy it on one. But, you know, I'm kind of staying away from a lot of vintage shopping right now. Because I know that, like you said, you know, here in about a year or so after the third movie's been out, I think a lot of the fandom is the fair weather fans, I guess, the bandwagoners, they're going to eventually fall away, and the hardcore fans that like to collect, they'll stick around, and we'll pick up all the gold that comes. Falling from the sky.
Yes, it'll be a good day. That's why I'm like you. I don't really do much vintage shopping. I mostly just buy like modern stuff, like the classics and things, because I can get them at retail. And I'll just wait for vintage stuff. I'll kind of wait till the fad, you know, passes and the prices come down. Unless, like you said, you get a really good price on something.
Mm-hmm. But speaking of price,
now it's time for Ouch My Wallet.
Ouch My Wallet is now here and in effect.
Yes.
Greg, did you get anything at all this week?
No, I did not. As you all remember.
All right, shut up.
Yeah, okay. The electric bill just slammed me. I'm broke for a while. But I did splurge knowing I've got an income tax refund coming. I have a little emergency money in the bank that I'm going to dip into for some toys, so that, you know, knowing that it's going to be replenished, you know, like in a couple weeks. So I have some stuff on the way. No point in going through the list now. I'll save it for next week because I should have a haul for next week's out to my wallet. But for this week, my wallet isn't saying a whole lot because, you know, Hasbro Toy Shop doesn't bill until they ship. So just waiting. The order's in. Should start shipping stuff next few days, and I'll have stuff to talk about next week.
Well, I too ordered some stuff from HTS. I got in a little bit later than you did, so I didn't get all the figures that I wanted, but I'll speak about them next week. I'm sure I'll have them by then because I got the shipping notice this morning, so I'm eagerly awaiting that. But as I mentioned earlier in our pre-show segment, I went out on the town with a friend of mine tonight, and me and him just kind of went around toy shopping and just having a good old time, and went to Toys R Us, and they had some pretty good sales going on. They had Generations Deluxe is on sale for $7.98, although they pretty much had everything I already had. I really wasn't looking for anything there. They still had quite a few animated Rodimus and animated Ironhides, and they had an animated Snarl, but seeing as how I have Rodimus and Ironhide, I really didn't want a Snarl, so kind of passed on those. And I almost bit on a Blazemaster simply because I think he's kind of cool looking, but he was full price at $11.88, so I passed on
really
him.
That, because I remember, and when they first got all those Revenge of the Fallen toys in, they had the, because they had all the same ones that Hasbro was giving away on the Double Your Action giveaway they were doing. It was like the same case assortment. Like Toys R Us got a ton of those in, and they were selling them like for $5 or $6, and they've marked them up.
No, these were $11.88. I was actually surprised, and I almost picked one up because I thought they were the $7.98 as well. They had a Blazemaster hanging over there where the Generations were, and then as I was getting ready to walk off the aisle with it, I noticed there was a bunch of Revenge of the Fallen, and they were all still $11.88, and I looked over and I'm like, wait a minute, this was the only one hanging on the $7.98 peg with the Generations. And then I kind of dug around there, and yeah, they were all $11.88.
Well, the shelf tag says, is it possible they just didn't put the, because sometimes, you know, the store, especially Toys R Us, is bad about not putting up the little tag for the sale price.
Yeah. Well, there's a scanner kind of an aisle or so down, so I went down to try to check it, but okay, it wasn't working, and I didn't feel like walking all the way up front. Hey, could you scan this for me? But they did have some Revenge of the Fallen Voyagers on sale for $9.98, and I thought that was an awesome price. I picked up Bludgeon for $9.98. I didn't have a Bludgeon anymore, and I still have Bonsaitron. But I figured, hey, it's Bludgeon. It's $9.98. I can't pass it up. It's an awesome mold. So I went ahead and bid on Bludgeon for $9.98 at Toys R Us.
And if I'm not mistaken, that same sale, they have their Human Alliance figures are all like $11.88, which is incredibly
cheap.
Yeah,
and the only one they had was Sideswipe.
Okay, yeah, he's like the worst one.
And that's probably the crappiest of the mold.
And also the two packs they have, where they have a Voyager and a Deluxe, that are usually like $29.99. I hear those are on sale for $19.99 this week. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they got
some
pretty good deals there.
I was really hoping to find a Dark Wind, but they were nowhere to be seen, as well as Countdown. They were all gone.
Well, they finally moved them all. Those things have been sitting around forever.
Yeah. Either that, or they've pulled them all to the back and they're going to bring them out later on, maybe next Christmas or something. But they weren't on the shelf, and I, like I said, I really didn't want to, you know, hassle anyone for it. I was just in there mainly looking to see what they had, and the $9.98 Bludgeon was too good to pass up. Just like the Commander Doom wheels I picked up a couple weeks ago at Meijer for $8. You know, really good price on a figure. I can't pass that up. You know, but moving on, my friend and I, we went down to a comic shop. I wanted to see what kind of vintage figures they had. And you and I, a few months back, was around October or so of last year, we went up and identified a whole big collection, or a couple collections actually, and tagged them and identified them. And looks like, for the most part, all of that is gone. He's got a few of the broken figures that really wasn't in that great a shape. A few of those are still left. There was a Unicron there, but he wanted like $50 for it. Mm-hmm. And plus, I'm still kind of holding out for the Takara Unicron. I might pick one of those up at BotCon if I can get a good deal at one, if I get to go. They had standing there all by his lonesome was one of the Universe Classics that I've been looking for, and I've been kicking myself for actually getting rid of. The first time was Inferno. He had an Inferno there. It's missing the missile, but I really don't care about the missiles because they kind of look stupid to me. But I went ahead and picked up Inferno, $25.
Yeah, that's incredible because
and
that
I thought
was one
that
of those toys
deal.
That I ordered it from Hasbro Toy Shop when it came out because it was towards the end of the line for that year. It was in Universe, wasn't it? Yeah, he was in one of the later waves of Universe, mm-hmm. and that's when the stores aren't really ordering too much because they're getting set up for the next movie line. And I never saw him in stores. When he went up on Hasbro Toy Shop, I ordered it, and glad I did because I never saw it in the store.
I saw him a couple times, and I actually picked him up the first time I saw him, and I was glad to get him. But you know, in my big toy purge later that year, that was one of the figures that went, and I'm glad to pick it back up. I was really excited to see him sitting there, and you know, I was getting ready to leave. There wasn't much else in Transformers that he had that I was interested in. And I just kind of looking, you know, as I said, I've been watching Masters of the Universe, and I was kind of looking at the Masters figures that he had, but most of those were in really crappy condition. Most of them didn't even have their accessories, and I'm like, eh. I would have loved it if he had had some classics, He-Man Classics figures, the ones that are out now, but he didn't have any of those. And there on a shelf, they had some mask stuff, and they had a Volcano, which was the monster truck van. It was really nice condition, and he had a $60 price tag on it. I wanted to get that one, but that was a bit pricey.
He also had a store that had it Piranha? That may not be what it was called, but it was the 57 Chevy that was broken.
Yes, and he still has it.
Nothing happens.
Yeah, he still has it. There's another one that if he still has it in a couple weeks or so, I may go back and get it. He has a Switchblade, Venom Switchblade, with the action figure that came with it. And it's in pretty good condition, and it has both the missiles. I'm really tempted to go back up there and pick that up for the simple reason of what I picked up tonight. I got my first ever mask figure. I purchased Rhino.
Sweet.
With Bruce Sato.
It's a great mold.
He's in really nice condition. This toy is in really nice condition. The chrome is dirty, but it's not really bad. The rubber tires are in great condition. The missile's still in it, still shoots. It seems to be in proper
rubber
working
tires?
Order.
I thought that thing had plastic tires.
He's got, they're hard rubber.
In a while. I was thinking they were plastic.
Yeah. Maybe I've got a different version. I don't know. But they are definitely hard rubber. They feel like hard rubber. But they got Bruce Sato actually has his mask, which is awesome. I'd like to track down a matte tracker to go with it. Now that I have Rhino, I'd like to get Switchblade because they were the two main vehicles in the line.
Thunderhawk. I want a Thunderhawk, Brad.
You know, Well, Thunderhawk, but you know, as far as the two leader vehicles,
I
guess.
Well, Matt Tracker drove the Thunderhawk before he teamed up with Bruce Sato and the Rhino. But yeah, you're as far as large scale vehicles, mm-hmm. yeah, they were the two big ones. Man, who doesn't want a Camaro that flies?
Yeah. But I'm not going to go overboard on the mask since I really didn't get into it as a kid beyond the cartoon. But this is if out of all the mask toys that I really wanted as a kid, this is the number one toy I wanted, and now I have it. Guess how much I paid?
$50.
No.
$40.
$25.
Wow.
$25.
That's a steal, man. I think I paid like $40 for mine. And mine didn't have Bruce Adel.
Yeah. For a working mask figure, I think he really, really cut me a deal on it. I really don't know how much they're going for on eBay. I would imagine a decent price. But $25 for a what appears to be a near-complete Rhino, awesome deal. But that was my haul for the week. Like I said, I've got some stuff on the way from Hasbro Toy Shop, but I'll talk about that next week. Shocking. Weird. Or downright crazy. However you describe it, it's time now for Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
All right, this week, the Whiskey Tango Foxtrot was something that when I saw it, I was like, what the? There's a little small convention in the Midwest every year called DairyCon. It's some fans that throw it on, or throw this convention. They put it on, and they just kind of get on the interwebs and tell people about it, and people show up, and they actually start doing their own exclusives, which aren't...
So usually held in Wisconsin.
Yes. Which is like the cheese state, hence the DairyCon. But their theme is always, cattle. They always have something to do with cows. Obviously, for obvious reasons, that's where dairy comes from. It's kind of neat. They started doing some exclusives, and they're not to the quality of a TFCon or BotCon where they have things produced in those colors. I mean, it's just some guys went on a small convention, so they just buy up a bunch of the same figure, and they pretty much paint them up themselves. Unless something has changed, I don't think it goes beyond that. I think they hand make all their customs by painting existing toys and doing some minor modifications. It looks like this year they're going to have three exclusives, and this is the first one that we've seen. And it's basically a G1 Gears, and they modified it and put a set of bullhorns on the front, like you would expect to see, on Boss Hogg's car. But what really made me crack up was what they named it. It's Gears with horns, and they called it Steers, and that just cracked me up.
Steers.
Oh, and the profile is hilarious that they wrote up for this guy. I'll just kind of read it real quick. It says, Steers is the official herder of the DairyCon universe. He is on constant patrol, making sure none of the other DairyCons get off the farm. Steers keeps the whole DairyCon universe in check. Considered the justice in these here parts, a cattle rustling, bronco busting, spur wearing, hard drinking, fast living bot. In a barroom brawl, he is ready to break a bottle and fight with the best of them. A perpetual ladies bot who's always saving the damsel in distress. Loves the open range. Rumored that Heifer found Steers on the planet of Jump. And I love.
Instead of Huffer, it's
Heifer. Yeah, Heifer. And, I didn't realize that was supposed to be from Huffer. That makes perfect sense. I love that his weaknesses, because they got the abilities and weaknesses. I think the weakness is the funny one, though. It says, though Steers has no known physical weaknesses, he secretly longs for the day when he can wield the lasso of liberty and the hat of heroism. And I just, the whole concept of just Gears with bullhorns called Steers just cracks me up to no end.
It's awesome. These guys at DairyCon, they always take a lighthearted approach to the convention, the Transformer convention exclusives. Their very first one back in, I think, 2002 was the first DairyCon they held. It was a G1 Jump Starter customized, and they called it Uncle Whiskey Breath. So, yeah. That they've always got something humorous about their exclusives.
I gotta see if they're on the TF Wiki. I gotta get more information about their past exclusives, because I remember one year they did.
Well, if you go to their website, www.dairycon.com, mm-hmm. You can find out a lot of information about it, like their convention exclusives. It's a 2001 exclusive, I believe. Uncle Whiskey Breath, yeah. Guardian of the Midwest. Let's see here. 2003 exclusives, Burning Furry Monkey and Chutterbug and Scoot. Burning Furry Monkey was... Looks like Optimal Optimus. Or Optimus Minor, actually. Yeah. With a weird color paint scheme on it. And then Clutterbug was actually
you just skipped 2002. They had one guy, Electrum Blast. His function was indigestion agent.
Yeah, Electrum Beast, yeah. But they've got some really cool stuff here. Check them out at www.dairycon.com. And if you're in the Midwest, especially the upper Midwest, around Wisconsin, Minneapolis, Minnesota, you know, around in that area, you might want to check these guys out. They're pretty cool. If I lived closer, I would definitely be attending. It's Transformers with a little fun spin on it. Can't beat that.
Oh, in 2009, they had Toilet Bot.
What? Toilet Bot? Where? Okay. Where's Toilet Bot? I've got to see Toilet
Bot. It's a jump starter made to look like a toilet.
Okay, come on. Where? Come on. I've skipped too far here. 2009, you say? Mm-hmm. Toilet Bot, and he was a warrior. Oh, wow.
Toilet.
A clean toilet is the right of all sentient beings.
Which is kind
of
ironic. Since he's
and he comes with a plunger. He comes with a plunger. These guys made my day.
The inability to comprehend his own origin.
What's the green stuff coming off the rim?
I was reading his weaknesses here. It says the inability to comprehend his own origins is a source of a chronic processing glitch in his toilet core. Porcelain bowl torso, being the weakest part of his body, can shatter if hit correctly. Leaks unknown fluids when handle is jiggled.
When handle is jiggled. Oh, gosh, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Exactly. All right, enough about the DairyCon exclusives. Those guys are awesome. Again, check them out at the aforementioned website. But we're moving on to our next discussion, which is... Generations Warpath. We discussed last week briefly. Warpath and RC has appeared in Walmart computers, and looks like there's a very small picture of Generations Warpath that might have surfaced here. It came from the
was it from 4chan, maybe?
I guess.
I'm not sure where it's from.
But it's. It is a very small picture, but it's still pretty clear as to what it is. It's he's like a four treaded tank. If you're familiar with the Halo video game, he's very similar to a Scorpion tank, in my opinion. Just imagine a Scorpion tank with red and gray color scheme. And that's what Warpath looks like in tank mode.
It kind of looks like they upscaled the Legends figure that came out a couple years back. And, of course, obviously made it more articulated, more detailed. Of course, all we can really see is the tank mode, but you can just know it's going to be more detailed than a Legend. Honestly, though, I'm a little disappointed. Warpath, I loved Warpath and Blitzwing as a kid. They were, you know, it's something about tank Transformers. You know, they were my second favorite behind, you know, Tractor Trailer Transformers. And I loved those two guys as a kid. And, you know, I never was a fan of the four tread tanks, mainly because I don't know if those even exist in the real world. I think they're just purely a fictional thing. If they are, they're so obscure, it's just not what you think of when you think tank. You know, I like the tanks like they were, you know, back in the 80s, you know, and like an Abrams tank. And so for me, you know, classics Warpath, like, all right, yeah, he doesn't have to be a four track because, you know, that was because he's a legend. The new one full size, they'll make him a just full on normal tank. And, that's kind of what I was hoping for, and that's not what this is. So I'm a little disappointed they went with the four-track tank, but still like Warpath. I'll still pick it up when it comes out, but I was a little disappointed about this picture.
I was disappointed that it is a four-track tank as well, but seeing as how I like the Scorpion tanks on Halo, and I like Warpath as a character, and this is enough of an homage in at least color scheme so far. I'm sure his robot mode will look pretty well, pretty nice too. I'll pick him up as well.
I can honestly say this tank mode is enough of a disappointment that if they repaint it as Blitzwing, I will not buy it, because you know Blitzwing needs to be a triple changer. Okay, you want to make him a four-track tank? Okay, make him a triple-changing four-track tank. I can live with it. But if he loses his jet mode, he better not have a four-track tank mode.
Well, you never know. Other photos that we've seen, some leaked photos, and this is kind of a spoiler. So if you don't want to be spoiled with the upcoming Dark of the Moon Transformers 3 movie, you might want to skip ahead. We've seen Dark of the Moon Shockwave alt mode picks.
I think there was a robot mode pick too, wasn't there?
And I didn't see it.
Hold on, I shall get it.
All I see is the vehicle.
Yeah, it's like the actual news article only has the picture, but on the front page when they have the whole listing, it has the robot mode.
Oh well, I'll need to go to the front page then.
Maybe not. No, here we go. I'll get you a link coming. Got all the pictures in. It's got several robot mode pictures.
Okay, there's a link.
It's added pictures since the last time I looked at this news story.
Okay. Oh, wow. Well, this is actually my first reactions to the to seeing the robot mode pics. It's pretty nice looking. I like it. But the alt mode, I'm not really digging the alt mode. It's kind of like the Revenge of the Fallen, the Fallen figure itself. I like the robot mode, but he turns into a what is that?
Right.
You know, he really doesn't turn into anything. And that's a lot like this guy here. His robot mode is pretty impressive.
I gotta say, for a movie figure, considering I'm not real crazy about the aesthetic, I mean, it looks fine on the screen. I can understand all the small moving parts. It's very sci-fi. I just don't care for the way the toys look, because they can't put that many moving parts on the toys, so it looks like a lot of jagged plastic. You know, and not only that, but just the designs. Like, I never thought Megatron ever really looked like Megatron. He was just, you know, a big pile of sharp metal that they called Megatron.
Yeah, it looks like a box.
Yeah,
full of
I have
eyes.
To say that the Shockwave here, his robot mode. I don't know if they're going with something a little different in the third movie as far as their designs, but he doesn't look as alien. He looks a little more like what we'd be familiar with, kind of like the robot that was in the Dark of the Moon trailer or the teaser that they put out. With what is maybe Vector Prime or Alpha Trion or who knows who that robot was on the moon. But he had more of a blocky shape, just with lots of lines for, you know, moving parts, but he wasn't a, you know, like you said, a spilled silverware drawer. He actually had some, you know, flat surfaces and things, and it looks like they're kind of continuing that here with Shockwave too. He's not nearly the mess that these designs usually are. He even has the rubber hose.
I mean, he is retaining the Shockwave head with the odd-shaped face and the one single red eye with the antennae ears, but at least he's maintaining that. Plus, he has the purple color scheme of G1 Shockwave. But beyond that, that's about where the similarities end.
Yeah, he looks as much like G1 Shockwave as, you know, the movie Prime looks like G1 Prime.
Yeah.
You know, at least they kept a lot of the important features like the chest windows and things, but you know, so he kind of looks like Prime, but yet very different. And that's kind of the way he is. But again, he just doesn't look as bad as like Megatron. If Megatron had looked this close to any incarnation of Megatron, he would have looked better.
It looks like he retains the hose as well that goes from his cannon to his arm, so that's actually kind of cool as well.
But it looks to me, though, like instead of being a rubber hose, it looks like a series of little plastic things that look like ball and socket joints that peg together to make like a flexi hose, but it's actually plastic. It's just a series of small ball and socket joints pegging into one another.
Looks like it pegs into his back, though, in the robot mode. Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird. I mean, I may pick it up depending on how it looks in person. I said earlier, I think in the last episode, I'm not really digging the Dark of the Moon toys overall. There might be maybe two or three so far that I've seen that I would be definitely picking up, Megatron being one of them. This one is a maybe, but I just really am getting sick of the movie aesthetic. I'm a brick former fan, so the blockier the better, I guess.
I don't know. Shockwave's iffy. I mean, we haven't ever really gotten a good classic Shockwave, and he retains a lot of elements, but he's still maybe a little too jagged for the classic shelf. But I'm like you. Megatron's a definite. Shockwave's a maybe. Instead of kind of wait till we actually see something on the shelf and then decide.
Yep. That's about all of the Dark of the Moon Shockwave I can talk about without really sounding like I'm bashing it. You can only say so much by looking at the figure and pictures. Right. We might talk a little bit more about it whenever we actually see it in stores or have it in hand. But initial reaction is cool, but you know, not really super excited.
My initial reaction is better than I would have expected.
Yeah, I think it's a pleasant reaction, but I'm just, you know, we're not really digging it either.
Kind of like it's not anything you really want, but at the same time, when you had like your mental picture of what you thought it was going to look like, it was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, I'm like you. At least it's not a drawer full of knives and forks that's been spilled out and then accumulated together in robot form. Speaking of something that is interesting to a lot of people, BotCon 2011 is coming up. Pasadena, California, at the Pasadena Convention Center, June 2nd through June 5th, 2011. We now, as of today, this recording, what is today, the 28th of January, 2011?
Well, it was the 27th. We just went past midnight, so.
Oh, wow. Yes, yeah. I guess it is. 27th. We got our first BotCon exclusive figure reveal.
They revealed the theme of the set. And before you spill the beans on what it is here, I don't want to try to the dramatic build up, even though most people listening to this have already seen it. But it was interesting because my thoughts today were, well, what's going to be on the podcast tonight? Oh, I know. We had some clues that leaked out about the BotCon set, and we'll discuss the possibilities. We'll kind of just make it, you know, a speculation episode where, what do you think it's going to be? And then, of course, get home from work and, you know, open up the major Transformer sites, and it's all over the front page. They've revealed it. You know, BotCon had to go and spoil our fun. They could have waited a week.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad, though. It gives us something to talk about and some pictures to look at. If you're wanting to look at the picture, you can go to www.botcon.com, BOTCON.com, and you'll be able to pull up some pictures there, look at some of the exclusives. And this year's first exclusive reveal is Stunticon Dead End Animated.
Yes.
It is animated Jazz, redecoed, and looks like redecoed as the Stunticon Dead End.
Yeah. The
and I am totally digging it.
It does look nice. I'm not really much of an animated collector. I loved the show. I just kind of like the movies. I love the movies, but just not really digging the aesthetic. I think I know they both came out around the same time with animated in the first movie, but they both went in completely opposite directions with the aesthetic, and both of them missed the mark as far as I was concerned. But I have to admit, this concept is really cool. If I were digging the animated toys, I'd be really excited about this. If this were to be a classics set, of course the fan rage would be off the chart because people would want these as mass releases. But the idea of a Stunticon box set. That was the theme we were told, is that the five-figure box set will be the Stunticon. So, you know, big surprise who the characters are. It's just, at this point, it's speculating what molds will be used.
Although it sucks that they obviously can't combine, unless that is the retooling that they're doing.
That would be awesome, but that would be some pretty major retooling. I can't see that happening.
Yeah, well, I mean, that would be cool. I mean, it's obvious that there's no retooling done to this figure, although it's probably, at this point, just a Photoshop. But
I don't know that
if they did retooling, that's the retooling I like, is to be able to have them.
That would be neat, because I actually had was contemplating, because I'm going to try to go to the convention. I got some other reasons I really want to go to this year's convention. I was hoping the box set would be the only way I could really justify in my mind as a collector, with just the way I do my collecting, getting animated toys would be, because they look so foreign and so different from everything else in my collection, because I just don't dig the aesthetic. I don't really have that many animated figures. I picked up a couple more out of curiosity than anything. But you know, if they'd made them the GoBots, you know, kind of revisit the theme of 07 where they had Bug Bite, you know, he was a GoBot invading the Transformers universe. You know what? Just go full on. Give us Leader 1, Psykiel, and use the animated molds. That way, you know, there's a reason they look different, because they're GoBots. But short of that, there really isn't anything for me to get excited about, because I didn't collect animated. It'll be neat for all the fans, because I'm planning to sell my set. I'm going to go to the convention, sell them for just a little above cost. I'm not going to try to, you know, date rape anybody with the prices. To pretty much make my trip to the con, or at least the registration part, free. The thing.
It's kind of like you're going to do like I tried to do, like I pretty much did last year.
Buy the set. You know, because that includes your registration to get into the convention, and then sell the toys for what you paid for them. Maybe if you can make an extra $5-$10, that's good. But even if you just sell them at cost, it's like going to the convention for free. So that's kind of the deal I'm working out with somebody to sell my set to get into the show. So it's kind of a mixed blessing. I mean, I love the Stunicons. Minasaur's my favorite combiner, so that part kind of has me excited. But at the same time, it's animated toys. I really got no use for them in my collection. So I think I won't miss them too bad if I sell them. However, you mentioned remolding them to where they were combinable. If that were the case, I would have to, you know, send that guy a private message that's, you know, I'm working to deal with, and be like, sorry, man, I'm not selling these. Because if they actually combined, that would be, because we haven't had any good combiners. I could live with the aesthetic if we had a, you know, five-figure combiner.
Yeah, especially whenever four of the limbs are deluxe size and the centerpiece would be a Voyager size. That would just be awesome.
That would.
But I'm really excited about this set simply for the reason that I'm kind of like you. I'm not a huge fan of the animated aesthetic. It does clash pretty well with the overall aesthetic of the Transformers toy line in general, especially when you have them on the shelf side by side, but I do appreciate it. They brought forth the character models from the cartoon very well, and I do appreciate that. I'm not of the mindset that animated is terrible. They look so different. They should have never came out with them. No, I'm not like that. I do like animated in the aspect that they did maintain that air of
accuracy.
It's authenticity, accuracy. To the show, they look very good as far as that's concerned. And standalone, if you don't set them next to another Transformer from another line, they look fantastic. But it's whenever you stand them next to another toy from another Transformer line, you're like, wow, that's just weird looking. I mean, they're too rounded, very almost play schoolish looking compared to other Transformers, in my opinion. But
yeah, when I say I don't like them, go ahead.
But you know, that doesn't mean that I don't like them. I do like them. I do have a few animated figures. I have RC, I have Ironhide, the Cybertron mode Ironhide anyway. I have Rodimus Minor. I have Atomic Lugnut. You know, the bulk of what I have is Autobots and animated. I'm really excited for this set simply for the fact that the box set is all Decepticons. So it kind of would look nice on a shelf, on an animated shelf for me.
Right. Yeah, animated is one of those lines. I'm like you. I can appreciate it for what it was. You know, the accuracy of the toys to the cartoon.
The cartoon was awesome. Yeah.
The cartoon, it was really good. It's probably the best cartoon we've had since Beast Wars. And it was, I mean, I enjoyed the show, and I appreciate the engineering of the toys. Some of these things, it's like you look at the alt mode and the robot mode, and you're like, how in the world does it get there? And they're really impressive. Don't get me wrong. For me, it is purely an aesthetic choice. I just don't care for the way they look. But everything else, I think it's a great Transformers line as far as it checks off so many boxes of things it does right. It's just, I just don't care for the way they look. That's the only thing that kept me from collecting them. But now one thing we, you know, want to bring up a question is, I mean, it's not like BotCon to have a one-sided box. They usually try to put a couple of Autobots and a couple Decepticons or, you know, Predacons and Maximals, whatever the theme is. They try to mix the box set as much as they can. It's usually an odd number, either 5 or 7 figures, so they can't split them even, but they usually try to keep it pretty close. You know, whichever faction has the large figure, the other faction will have more smaller figures, you know, like 4 of 1 and 3 of the other, with 1 of 3 being a Voyager. So this would be a first, to my recollection, of BotCon doing a set where all the figures in the box are one faction.
Yeah, which would lead you to believe that the convention figures, the freebies, and the ones that you can actually buy will be all Autobots, I would assume.
Yes, to balance it out. But it's just weird that they've never done it that way before. It's always been the boxes split, and then the at-show exclusives are split.
But you know what, though?
All in the box.
It really doesn't bother me that much as a collector and as a fan. I don't mind the fact, especially whenever they do it this way.
Right. Well, the other sets were more themed around a story, and so it makes sense to kind of have it mixed. Where that way, if you're the kind of person who can't go to the con and you can only order the Icon package, I think it's called, where you get just the non-attendee set, so that all you get is the box set, you kind of want some from each faction to mix it up to represent that story. But with this year, with it being the Stunticons, if you only got like a couple of the Stunticons in the box and then you had to get the rest at the attendee set, for people who couldn't go and had to order the non-attendee, that would kind of suck to only have like 3 of the Stunticons and the 2 Autobots. So I can kind of see the logic behind that, you know, having all the Stunticons in the box and then the Autobots being sold separately. But the speculation is, we'll get around to speculating on what the other figures are in the box to make up the Stunticons, but as far as the freebie and the non-attendees, I don't want to go as far as trying to pick the molds and what they'll be repainted as, but just character-wise, who do you think those 5 figures would be, the 2 packs and the freebie, as far as if they are Autobots?
If they're Autobots, I don't know. It's hard to say, actually. You know, the Stunticons, their arch nemesis in the Generation 1 cartoon, were the aerial bots. But as far as jet planes that could be recolored as Autobots, you have the Jetfire and Jetstorm guys. Mm-hmm.
And then Starscream.
And Starscream.
And that's pretty much it.
Yeah. I'd say the Jetfire, Jetstorm guys could be recolored twice, kind of like the Sharkticons were. You know, just have one black and red, black one, one red one, have Air Raid and Firefly, and then have a white one and a gray one as Slingshot and Skydive, and then have a Starscream, a Silverbolt. I could see that happening.
But with those 2 toys, though, already being so similar, I mean, they're pretty much the same mold twice. I've never owned them. From what I could tell, I mean, when you bought the 2-pack with those 2, you know, Jetfire and Jetstorm, wasn't it pretty much just the same toy in 2 colors because the way they docked symmetrically?
You know, I found the toy so uninspired, honestly. I really didn't care all that much, simply because they were characters I didn't care about. But if you recolored them as aerial bots, I'd be a little bit more interested in them.
Mm-hmm.
This is only my speculation, but... That would be the only set that would actually make sense to go alongside of the Stunticons, to me.
Right, and I agree, except like you said, though, with that really being your only options to make the Stunticons, I think the idea of having, you know, your at-show exclusives people buy, you know, having them be pretty much 4 of the same toy, I just don't see Bot. I don't see Funpub doing that. That just to me that because they want they like to give a little more variety. They do reuse molds in the set, you know, for to save money. But at the same time, I think that would be a bit excessive, and I think even they would realize that. That with the, given the cost of these things, nobody wants to get four of the same toy, even if it is slightly different paint schemes. I mean, they're pushing it with two of each toy.
Well, look at the Virulent Clones from the 2005 set. Granted, it was a very unpopular set.
It was an unpopular set, mostly because of mold choice. But yeah, I mean, that's why. When you it's like the only time they can get you by multiples of a toy is, well, like last year, you have the Troop Builders, and then you had Skybite, and then the three Sharktacons, you know. But that only works because Sharktacons were in multiples. You know, you can Troop Build something there were multiples of all the same color. We weren't really talking about the Troop Builder set. We were talking about the individual figures. Usually you have two of a mold, and that's it. One in the box and one as an attendee set. And, you know, I just don't see them using a mold four times in one BotCon set. It's just very unlikely. But like you, I can't think of who else would make a better rival to the Stunticons. And then you get into the issue of, well, why do the Stunticons get top billing when they could just as well have made it a set of aerial bots and then had the Stunticons as the freebies. Which kind of leads me to believe that we're not going to see a combiner team. As much as I would love to see it, there was a digibash on the internet by a poster on TFW named White Mocha. He did a set with animated toys making a Protectobot set. And that came out really nice. And
oh, yeah.
I think even though they weren't the arch nemesis of the Stunticons, I think with the mold availability of animated molds, that would work better as far as a set. But when you consider the five toys, you get two in the two packs, and then one's a freebie. Man, you talk about hard to complete the Protectobot set when one of them is the freebie. That's in very limited numbers and very pricey on the secondhand market. But I just think with the billing going to the Stunticons, we're not going to get a combiner team for the others. It's just going to probably be some random Autobots. We may end up getting things. This is, in my opinion, I think you'll get like the Bumblebee remold into Wasp. They possibly get RC with a new head as Alita 1. I think we'll get stuff like that. And who knows, they may even give us a Voyager Starscream remolded into Slipstream. I just think we're going to get stuff like that. The other figures at the show will be characters that were either in the show or in the Allspark Almanac that are just easy repaints or remolds of existing toys that were never released. That's personally what I think we'll see. Maybe even a cone-headed ramjet.
It's possible. Before we wrap up here, let's go ahead and play devil's advocate a little bit. Since we know that the five-figure box set is the Stunticons, and we know that the animated Jazz mold is going to be used as Dead End, what is your hypothesis on the remaining four Stunticons? Motormaster, Breakdown, Dragstrip, and Wild Rider.
Okay, well, my first guess on Wild Rider, and I think I've got a pretty good reason why this will be the case, I think Wild Rider will be a repaint of the animated Rodimus. For the simple reason that there was that Gintei exclusive where Classics Rodimus was repainted as Wild Rider in Japan. It's a very sought-after toy. It's very valuable because it's such a limited number of piece and so sought-after. I just think, you know, Funpub will play on that popularity to do their Wild Rider from the animated version of the same character. So I think Rodimus will end up being Wild Rider. Dragstrip, I'm not sure because there's no F1 racer in animated. The next closest thing I would say would be Blur, but they're already doing the Cheetor, the Transtech Cheetor, as a club exclusive with that mold. And yeah, they've used the same mold from the club exclusives and into the BotCon before. The problem here is they'd both be yellow. They'd be too similar. I don't know. So maybe they would use him as... who am I forgetting? Could we go Dragstrip, Wild Rider, Dead
Breakdown.
End? Breakdown. Blur might get used as Breakdown just for the simple reason, although he doesn't really seem to fit the look at Breakdown.
I would have thought the Rodimus would have been Breakdown more so for me.
Mm-hmm.
Rodimus looks more like a Lamborghini, so I would think that Rodimus would have fit as a Breakdown better.
I agree. Except, again, it's just the whole pre-established Rodimus being Wild Rider. That's the reason why I think they'll go that way. I could be wrong, though. That's just my thoughts. Who do you think they would use for drag strip then?
Drag strip, like you said, there was no F1 racer. I would go with Lockdown. Just repaint him in yellow and red with some black tires. That would be my guess.
He would definitely
animated Lockdown. Obviously, a new head. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I can see that he's a little tall, but that kind of fits with the Classics Breakdown being, you know, kind of tall and skinny for a figure. So yeah. Actually, I really don't know. I'm kind of at. I mean, I could see that happening. Although I think they're going to stick with Autobot molds, but yeah, I really don't have any good guesses beyond Wild Rider. Dragstrip and Breakdown are still kind of, you know, I really can't even formulate a good guess on those two. However, I have a pretty good hypothesis for who Motor Master will be. Some people are speculating Prime, but there was already a Black Prime released in Japan. Again, this would be a little too similar to that. I mean, it was, you know, with the animated, you know, Voyager Prime. It would pretty much be the same thing, just a new head. I think it'd be too similar. They like to differentiate their stuff a little bit. Some people are speculating Ultra Magnus, although they've never done a leader before, especially in a box with four deluxes. I think they're going to use Retgar, because his vehicle mode is kind of like Motor Master's, being, you know, flat nose truck on the front with a big box on the back. It just happens to be a garbage truck. But I think in Motor Master colors, those big forks sticking out the front, it could be very menacing.
Plus, he has a boxy head.
And yes, well, even they do remold the head, because that one looks a little too much like Weird Al. The way that thing transforms, there's plenty of room in the alt mode to store a head, so they could make it as big and boxy as they want to.
Yeah, I totally agree with the Retgar. At first, I was leaning toward Animated Prime as Motor Master, which would actually look cool with a remolded head. Then I thought maybe Sentinel Maximus or Sentinel Prime. Mm-hmm. But he's too small and he's a pickup truck. And then I thought about Ultra Magnus, but Ultra Magnus was a leader class. Mm-hmm. So we're obviously not going to get a leader class in the box set. It's way too big. So yeah, that just leaves us with Retgar as the only sensible choice. Other than Prime, I would accept Prime, but I agree with you. Retgar, he has the trailer, like box trailer type look, and I think he could pull it off as Motor Master very well.
Yeah, and didn't Motor Master have a motor mouth? Did a lot of trash talking, so
yeah,
it kind of fits to be a garbage truck.
Yeah, my picks, like I said. I would go with Animated Rodimus if they could use the mold. I mean, seeing as how it's still on the shelf right now, if they could use that mold as Breakdown, I would go with that one. Possibly Blur as Wild Rider, and then I would go with Lockdown as Dragstrip, and then Retgar as Motor Master. Those would be my picks. And I think that would actually make a very nice-looking set.
Yeah, I agree. I think either one of those, as long as we get Retgar as Motor Master, I think either way we're set for a pretty strong BotCon set. So, yeah, I'm not going to complain either way. I mean, again, I'm not really going to collect them, but it'll be interesting to see what they do, because, like I said, I did like the animated story. I loved the cartoon. I bought both Almanacs. You know, so, I mean, I'm very interested in the set as far as just from a spectator point of view. Yeah. Probably not going to keep it, but I'm really excited to see what happens and what toys get released as what characters.
Well, I for one have decided I will keep it unless they really do some real turds as some choices. I really don't see them doing that after seeing Jazz's break or his Dead End. I really want to keep the set. If it winds up that I can't actually attend BotCon, I totally intend to get the box set. This is a set that I've actually finally found a set that I'm like, I have to have that set.
Dude, that's the way I felt last year. I was totally digging the G2 theme.
Well, I really dig the G2 theme as well. Although, if they'd use some more recognizable characters to me, like the Inferno looked pretty cool, whatever the the name was for him. I can't
Spark,
remember what it was.
Or was it Pyro?
Yeah, Spark. Or maybe it was Pyro. And then the Decepticon that they had opposite him, I didn't even recognize him at all.
Yeah, Clinch. He was a UK exclusive. I think he was called Colossus in the UK.
Yeah.
And then
well,
he
see, that it would have made sense for Auto Assembly to have that one as an exclusive, since Auto Assembly is a UK-based Transformers convention.
Mm-hmm.
But we never had that figure here in the U.S., and I can understand why they offered it here as a U.S. exclusive, since we never had that character. But I had no relation to it whatsoever. I didn't.
Well, we
I didn't
did.
Identify
it did
with
come
it.
Out in the U.S. It was Colossus in the U.K. Same toy was released here in G2 as Clinch, and that's the name that it had in the box set. It was just one of those like tail end of G2. I don't think it saw a real heavy release. Which, you know, yeah, at first when I thought G2, I was thinking things like the black sideswipe. What else? We have G2 weird color schemes. The G2 ramjet.
Which we are getting as a club exclusive.
Right. And yeah, there was less of that than I expected, more of the obscure G2 stuff, but it still looked good. I loved the breakdown. And Skybite, even though he's not a G2, I just think the toy looked beautiful. But yeah, I was the same way as you.
Threw us kind of a curve, too. A lot of us were thinking that the box set this year was going to be Robots in Disguise themed.
Mm-hmm.
And they threw us a curve.
And maybe it was going to be, because somebody made a comment that that Brian Savage had made a comment, because he mentioned last year there's something, but it wasn't going to be animated. But then now it is. They kind of changed their mind early on after the convention last year. I think maybe they were going to give us an RID set this year. I think Skybite was going to be in it, and I think the Sideburn from Rodimus was going to be in it. I think the reason why the change happened so that Rodimus is the freebie and Skybite came out last year had to do with last year's set, the changes they had to make to it. Because, there takes quite a bit of planning in advance, and they wanted to do the G2 Ramjet in the box set, and they wanted Action Master Thundercracker to be the freebie, which is kind of the reason why they did the G2 set, because they were going to do Action Master Thundercracker, and then all the rest toys were going to be these bright colors to accommodate him, which was the G2 set. But because Hasbro was releasing the Seekers again, they were using those molds in production when BotCon was going to produce their toys, so they didn't get to release Ramjet or Thundercracker. And so that's when they went ahead and went with the Slice to fill in as the freebie toy. And so they pulled a toy that would have been for this year's set just to fill the empty slot in the box set, I think. And then they worked it into the story. Personally, I think that was the case. I think Skybite probably wasn't supposed to be in last year's set because of the two jets. I think he filled Ramjet's spot in the box. So that means that's one less toy they had for RD this year. They saw the fans, wanting animated toys. The fans were at the point now where they know they can't use movie toys, and they pretty much milked the Unicron trilogy dry as well as the classics. So pretty much the only molds left that are in abundance were animated, and I think just the fans were inundating FunPub so much with requests for an animated box set that that's when they changed their mind. They're like, well, we already gave away Skybite in last year's set, so that's one less figure for the R&D box. Rodimus is a popular mold. They're just really proud of the Sideburn, so they're like, okay, well, let's just make him the freebie for the club, if you join the club, and then we'll do something different for BotCon this year, and they settled on this animated set. I know that's all speculation. Probably only the FunPub people could shine a light on that, but I can see the logic leading down that road to getting what we're getting.
Yeah, I can too, I'm kind of happy that it turned out the way it did. I would like to see an RID set, maybe next year. There's always next year. It's one thing a lot of people say about BotCon figure sets, if they don't care for them. I really liked last year's set, there was only a few figures in the whole set that I really, really, really liked.
Oh, I love them all.
And the two main ones that I really liked, which was Scorch and G2 Breakdown, I wound up getting anyway. I would like to find a Rapido, but aside from that, I'm happy I got what I did. But this year with the Stunticons, it's a box set that I really have to chase after.
Right.
And I'm excited.
Well, I'm happy for you. Like I said, I had that feeling last year, because the other BotCon sets, I even owned some of them and I sold them because they were neat, but nothing that was like, ooh, I gotta have that, until that G2 set. And so I know how you feel, and it's an awesome feeling to be like, ooh, that's awesome, I gotta have it now. And what, yes, it's really good when you can actually make it to the convention and get it, so you don't have to try to pick it up secondhand.
Well, I am going to try my darndest. Even if I wind up having to sell a bunch of stuff like I did last year to go, I'm going to try to go. I know I have the time off now, and it's at the top of my priorities. So I just hope that we get a decent amount back on our taxes this year, and my wife can get the time off. I'd really like for her to go. She's never been out west. I have. I really like it out there. It's almost like another world compared to what we see here in Kentucky,
especially California,
Florida. Yeah, it's a lot more arid out there. Of course, you know, this is all everyday stuff to people that actually live out there, but to us, it's very different landscape, and I just enjoyed that, and I'd like to see it again, and I'd like my wife to see it, but if she can't, maybe she'll be kind enough to let me go by myself again, kind of tag along with you, I guess.
Yeah, I've never been out west either. This will be my first trip, so I'm kind of excited. You know, everything's looking good for being able to go, bar some emergency that comes up and takes all my money. But, you know, as of right now, especially with me selling, you know, a set of toys in advance, you know, I mean, obviously the guys are giving me the money up front so I can afford to buy the stuff. And so that will help ease my burden, because I don't have to come up with the pre-registration money, because, you know, I'll be spending someone else's money for the pre-registration because he gets the toys. Mm. So,
very nice. Well, is there anything else that you want to add for this episode?
No, I think we pretty well covered the BotCon thing. It's just going to be exciting to see what happens, see what the rest of the molds are. I love this time of year when they're doing the slow reveals, one toy at a time. So it's going to be great.
Yeah. Yep. Totally agree. Well, that does it for this episode of Geek Existence Toys. Geek Existence Transformers. I'm kind of forgetting that we made that change, but we hope you'll tune in next week for our next episode. We, as of this recording, we have not released last week's episode. It is recorded. It is edited. We're just kind of working on a new intro theme for it, trying to get that finalized. That's why it's not been posted yet. So if you actually... if by chance you hear this one before that episode, that is why. And hopefully it didn't make you too mad.
Well, I would imagine...
it'll be up.
I would imagine this one won't be out either if we don't have an intro yet, so...
Well, you know, if by chance this happens to be the next one someone listens to, that's all I'm saying.
Gotcha.
But, and plus the guy that actually does the editing, he's been hard at work on a new job, so kind of cutting him a little slack too. It's a little hard. Neither Insane Galvatron nor myself have proper editing tools, so it's a little hard to do it ourselves. So, but we're muddling through, and we hope to see you next week.
See you later.
This has been Geek Existence Toys with your hosts, Weird Wolf 1975 and Insane Galvatron.
Interact with us. Join our forums by going to our website at www.geekexistence.com and clicking on the forums link.
You can also geek out with us on Facebook by searching for Geek Existence. Be sure to like us on there and tell your friends about us.
Last but certainly not least, you can email us with your questions or comments via text or audio clip to our Gmail account, geekexistence@gmail.com. Audio clips must be 30 seconds or less in length and in MP3 or WAV format. Your audio question may be played in a future podcast, so please make sure they're clear.
Any copyrighted material that appears in our podcast is property of the rightful copyright owner. The content in this podcast was not intended to infringe on any of those copyrights and is used for informational purposes only. Credit goes to danosongs.com for the songs Gem Droids and Beautiful Straight Lines used within this podcast.
Don't forget our other podcasts available from Geek Existence. For the gamer, there's Geek Existence Gaming. For the toy collecting fanatic, there's Geek Existence Toys. And for the science, tech, and sci-fi geek, there's Geek Existence Science and Tech. Check them out. Available on iTunes and Geek Existence website. This has been a presentation of GeekExistence.com. Thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us for our next podcast.